All right. Thank you for joining us once again for Five Questions Only. I'm your host, Fox. And today on Five Questions Only, I have Erica Ward of Erica Ward Interiors. It's a full-service interior design firm. And in 2016, the Atlanta Tribune named Erica Ward Interiors the best of Atlanta within the professional service category. And I'm just so excited to have her on. This is a very talented person, smart, and I just love following her on the social media sites and just to see her up-to-date work as well. Welcome, Miss Ward. How's it going?
It's going great. Thank you, Fox, for having me. It's certainly an honor, and it's great being able to interact with you via social and to finally speak with you in person today.
Yeah, that's awesome. Go ahead and elaborate a little bit more on yourself. I know I didn't do you quite justice.
No, it's fine. So yeah, just like you said, I'm an Atlanta-based interior designer. I also do brand ambassador work as well. I'm a writer. And my most important job, I'm a mom of five and a wife to a fantastic husband. And so I've had my interior design business, full time. I've been at it since 2009. And prior to, I actually worked in the corporate arena as well as servicing design clients. And so, you know, came to a point where I grew my business enough where I was able to position. And it's been a wonderful experience, and I'm so glad I took the leap.
Well, that is awesome. That is great. Taking a leap now, was there any fear involved? Like, what obstacles did you have to overcome to take that leap of, and you worked at a regular full-time job, correct?
I did. And so the biggest reservation or the biggest fear I may have had is just like anyone else, maybe fear of failure, but my desire to succeed. And I believe I had all the tools and resources. And if I didn't know anything, just the same goes as now. If I don't know the answer to something, I know how to talk to somebody else who does. Right. So It's one of those things where I am a bit of a risk taker, but it's a calculated risk. At that time, my husband and I were growing our family. So we had three children at the time, two, and I needed. So the option of going out on my own was way more attractive than staying where I was in the corporate arena.
That's awesome. And a lot of people are afraid to still take that, you know, risk. They're not sure when to jump the gun.
Sure. Well, so my advice to those people who are considering taking the leap. And it's the understanding that entrepreneurship is not as glamorous as I think we often see people portray it as. You know, you see these beautiful hashtags, girl boss and boss chick and boss this and boss that. But really, you're not a boss because your client is your boss, essentially, and whoever it is that you're working for in the service type industry anyway, you know, like interior design, your client is essentially your boss. You collaborate and you partner with them on a project, but you have to answer to somebody, right?
Right.
Right. And so it's that in combination with all the other administrative tasks that go along with entrepreneurship, many hats you wear, marketing, finance, insurance, and, you know, human resources.
And a whole lot.
You get to a point where, you know, like we had spoken previously before we got started on the call, is that you get to a point where you have to grow, right? And if you don't grow, you end up tarnishing your name, right?
Right.
That's not what you want to do. So the challenge is to, you know, when to leap and when not to leap is to make sure you have a viable business first and foremost, to make sure that you have a true passion and desire to succeed, and to know that if it didn't work, you're not a failure. You know what I mean? It just wasn't the right season.
Well, that's awesome. And you know, a lot of people look at failure as like the end all be all to everything. No. The word failure is just like scary to people. Why interior design?
Well, you know, my grandfather was an architect, and my grandparents had a huge influence on my life. And you know, for African-American architect in his time was very rare. and he experienced a lot of challenges, which he shared with me. He's actually licensed in both Georgia and South Carolina, but he always exposed me to architecture of various time periods. He also owned several real estate properties in Atlanta, and so he would buy kind of dilapidated homes and restore them, and so I kind of watched him through that process, and you know, it was just kind of second nature at that point in, you know, my childhood. It's just kind of like, oh, we're back at Home Depot again, or oh, okay, we're going back to this raggedy house. But I grew to have an appreciation for it, because I think there's so much to say about how you feel after you evaluate the work of your own hands. Now, of course, he had people, he had contractors that he was managing throughout, but to actually have a vision, to work that vision and see it to come to fruition is so rewarding. And then to have somebody else to be able to enjoy, you know, your labors, I just find so much gratification in that. I really do. And so his advice to me, it's not interior design, but I did what he's, you know, told me to do. I always did. And so I'm so glad that I did, because that really has helped me to weather the storms, the peaks and valleys and ups and downs that you experience in entrepreneurship, right? It's just being able to not only have a talent as an artist, but to also be able to manage your artistry and to be able to sell it and to know how to diversify your income when one avenue isn't really making the ends meet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, so that's why. And then after that, I actually took some coursework in interior design, so drafting, history. So I have some formal training as well. And then, of course, you know, with anything, on-the-job training teaches you so much more than you would learn even in the classroom, right? And so that goes back to, you know, nobody does everything right. I can't say for a minute that I did everything right, but I did learn from my mistakes and I got better, right? And so it goes back to, it's okay to fail as long as you learn from, you know, whatever your mistakes were, so you won't make the same mistakes again.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing story. That's so interesting that you took what you were exposed to and ran with it.
Yeah, and also I believe that, you know, I used to feel like, oh, I'm behind because I didn't study architecture at first, or I didn't study interior design at first. I studied finance, but, you know, it goes back to a saying that, you know, your gifts will make room for you. So it's, you know, you're taking other skill sets that are applicable, you know, that for finance is the first thing you think about when you think about interior design. But with design, having a design business, the majority of it is opposed to the design work. And right. So if you're not solid on that, then you become a starving artist. You know, you can design all day, create all day, but you can't sell it, right? Right. You don't know how.
So did you have to learn marketing and in school, like a regular course, or did you Google?
Yeah, no, I had marketing courses as part of my core, as part of my core business curriculum at the University of Georgia. And the finance classes range from like real estate finance, corporate finance, small business finance. I mean, any kind of finance course you could think about, I think they well prepared us. It's one of the top business schools actually in the country. So I was happy to be, you know, a part of that. But my point is, it's like, no matter what your path is from the very beginning, I'm very certain that there's something in your original profession that can help you later transform that into something that, you know, transition,
right,
into the next thing. Yeah.
That's so inspiring. Now, when you thought about, said, you know, your first thought is like, you know what, let me go ahead and do this interior design, create my own business. A lot of times, family members, friends, those around us can get uncomfortable with you wanting to grow in a certain way. Was there anyone or anything, you know, attempted to hinder you?
Yeah. I think, you know, I'm very fortunate to say that I haven't had that experience. My husband is a former football coach, and he has a very by nature, right? So there are times when I may have wanted to give up. And he's like, no, you're going to finish what you start. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I will. So, you know, to have somebody be able to be with you on your journey from the start and to be able to see the progress that you made, because sometimes when you're the one working, you can't see how far you've come. It takes someone else to be able to remind you where you used to be, where you are now, and to remind you that you do have what it takes
right.
to finish the course. And so fortunate enough, I had my husband to help me in that area. And then once you've received that type of encouragement, you know how to then encourage the next person. And so that's exactly what I aim to do, other professionals in the industry, or just, you know, my friends and loved ones in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs a cheerleader. Everybody does. And the people closest to you, you know who those people are who can speak life into you. And those are the people you need to surround yourself with, especially when you're growing anything, whether you're growing a business or growing a baby. you need somebody to supportive and to be able to speak life and encouragement around you and to, you know, help push you when you kind of feel like you're running out of gas.
Right. Exactly. We all need that, because there's so much negativity going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have just positive people around you to keep going and want to see you growing, you know, they know you grow.
Absolutely.
They grow, you know, we all win.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the funny thing about, and I guess the idea of paying it forward, is that my husband pushed me, encouraged me. But then it came a time where he made a transition in his business, and he stopped coaching and he started actually. Well, I have to say we, because I'm very much a part of it as well. But we've got three businesses, and aside from the interior design business. And, you know, I listened to him talk to a friend of mine, and he told her, you know, I was the one that he watched, you know, grow a business. And he felt like, okay, I can do this too. Let me give it a try.
Wow.
And so that really touched me. Oh my goodness. That tear to my eye. I can sit there and cry like a baby at the table, but it did touch me, I have to say, because just as much as I credit him for, you know, a lot of my successes is just being kind of behind the scenes and encouraging me, he credits me for the things that he's done. So that reciprocation is just, you know, heartwarming, right? And it's just a beautiful surprise that you wouldn't have expected.
Right.
Just, you know,
going after your goal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So while you're going after your goal, and even though it's scary, and for those who are listening, it may be scary, but, and there may be people to try to hinder you, because, you know, people know once you change, they may have to change. Things around them are going to start changing as well. But just to know that
sure.
you went after your goal, you motivated someone, even though he was in the mix with you, and you probably motivated so many other people just standing around watching.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
That's a beautiful thing.
You know, you mentioned it is, and you mentioned fear and people listening being afraid. Here, guys, you gotta believe me when I say this, and I'm still amazed even when I speak to people who I feel are so accomplished or are transparent with me and tell me that they're afraid or they've been afraid or they still get afraid even now. And you think, wow, you afraid of what? Like, you know,
right.
It's hard for you to imagine, but it's a natural thing. You know what I mean? You just got to push through it.
Right.
But here's the beautiful part about the fear, though, in my opinion, is that the minute you stop being quote unquote fearful, then I think that's when you're like on the downside of things, in the sense where, because you don't feel like you can learn anything else from anybody. You feel like you know everything. And that's a fallacy. You know, nobody knows everything. But the minute you become so full of yourself that you think you know every doggone thing,
right.
you won't be around much longer.
Right.
You know, pride comes before the fall. I truly believe that.
That is so true. Because things are always just constantly changing too. Now,
yes,
you know,
yes.
So you got to continue to learn, and somebody's coming up with something new that can help improve your business and
yes.
any of your other businesses as well. Now, do you speak to, I know you say you speak to your people in your profession and
yes.
friends and family. Now, is there any organizations you speak for, because you're so motivating and so positive, and I just love it and inspiring.
So no, there isn't any formal agreement, so to speak, of what I'm trying to say. I don't have any organized speakers. Gosh, I don't even know what to call it now. I'm getting tongue tied, but I do speak on panels on occasion, various markets. Well, let me elaborate. So we have trade shows, I suppose you could call them, just like you do in any other industry. And so I speak on topics of design, trends, social media, business. I actually have a talk coming up this month in January at the Atlanta Decorative Arts Center. And so those opportunities give me a platform to be able to speak to, you know, even more people in the, well, actually still people in the design industry, but it's an honor to be on your podcast because I know not everybody's in the design industry, probably very few people, you know, right. are, but the same advice that I'm giving still applies across the board, right? No matter right. what it is yes. that you're attempting to do, you know, I just happen to be into interior design.
What could you give someone, say the person who's in interior design school? I went to Art Institute of Atlanta, mm-hmm. and there was mm-hmm. a lot of interior design students. For someone who wants to start out and start their business, mm-hmm. but who's financially strapped, where could they begin?
You know, yeah. So for someone who's, well, here's the thing about interior design is that you're offering a service and it doesn't require you don't need any money to offer anybody any advice or get paid for your advice, right? So maybe initially you're providing some type of consultation. And so that's literally, you know, you getting money in exchange for solving somebody's decorating problems or dilemmas. And so, you know, I think try to think about where you can. Stop thinking about what you can't do, but where can you start? I think that's a wonderful place to start. And, you know, you can come in at various price points, you know, whatever you feel comfortable charging somebody for your service. And I think I know for sure, and it's from my personal experience, is when you are able to help someone in such a way that they are so excited and you can't downplay what you do know. You know more than the average person does about a specific thing, or else they wouldn't be calling you, right?
Right.
So, and the other part is, you know, not to get into self-doubt. You know, when you call your electrician or your plumber to come in, you don't stand over them and think, I bet you he don't even know what he's doing. No, you don't think that. You're like, I know that he's got this covered. He's going to get this handled. And it's the same thing when somebody calls you for design advice. They're not trying to see whether or not you're going to fail. They're looking to you for that advice and to know that you're going to deliver on it. And like I said, we don't know everything, even if there are things that you kind of run into a snag, especially as a beginner. You say, you know what, I don't know the answer to that, but I can get back with you on that and then move on to the next thing.
Right, right. Okay, that's pretty good advice mm-hmm. for anyone.
Sure.
Within yeah, any definitely. Business.
Right.
What things are you working on now?
Okay, so right now we're getting more into renovation services, new build. We traditionally have been doing a lot of decorating projects. Now we're getting more into kind of the bones of a home and being able to either help someone build a home from the ground up or help someone to reconfigure a home that they may have purchased. There's a lot of that going on here in Atlanta, and I think as a native I need to be able to capitalize on that. And I've got all the resources that we need, and we have the capabilities, and people just have to know what we do, right? Know what right. we can do. And so last year we had one kitchen renovation, basement renovation, and some other kind of small scale renovation projects. And so what I'm doing right now is pulling together kind of before pictures. I'm having those projects photographed either this month or next month. And so what I'll do is put those stories together via blog posts, maybe even pitch them to magazines or some kind of digital publication, and then also pull it together for video as well. So we're hitting it up in all platforms. I'm hitting every single platform I can.
That's awesome.
Because everybody's not at the same place, you know?
Right.
Everybody's not on Facebook. Everybody's not on Instagram. And somebody may just follow me on my blog, or somebody might just follow me on Twitter. So, and then definitely your clients are sure mouthpieces for you, and they love to be able to recommend good people to their friends and families, and, you know, just kind of staying in contact with your clients and people that you've done work before, and even asking for referrals. That's a big thing that I didn't realize people don't do. It's just asking, hey, do you know anyone else that would love to get this level of service that I've given you? You know, or hey, mm-hmm. you know, Fox, we've worked really well together. Do you know anyone else that you think I work well with? And so, I mean, if anybody asks you that type of, you know, ask you that question, it's like your mind automatically switches into, you know, oh, who do I know? You know what I mean? And right. how can I help? Especially if it's somebody that you've had a really good experience with, you want to bring them more work, right? And you want right. to say that I gave them, I think we all kind of have this satisfaction where we're like, well, you know, oh yeah, I connected them together. And yeah, it
right.
really well.
right. Makes you feel good.
Yeah, exactly. That you were able to help two people out.
Right. Know? Follow through.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now, where can our guests today find you? Yeah.
Yes. So my main hub is ericaward.com. It's Erica with the K, ericaward.com. I'm on every social channel except for Snapchat. I just can't figure it out for the life of me. I tried, mm-hmm. but Facebook and Twitter, it's Mrs. Erica Ward. Instagram, Mrs. Erica Ward. Pinterest. What am I missing?
And Instagram, you said Instagram already?
Yep. Okay. Mrs. Erica Ward. Okay. I also have a design blog called BlueLabelBungalow.com. If you spelled it wrong, just type it in Google, it'll pop up. So
and you also have your website.
Yes. Oh, that's ericaward.com. Yes, okay. My main website. So, mm-hmm. And I think it's important if I can just add one more thing.
Go ahead.
You know, in social media, people are very consumed with, you know, gaining followers and fans and all these, you know, boosting their numbers. But if any of those social platforms went away, or if they started to charge you to have an account with them, then you essentially don't have access to those people that you've established relationships with. Mm-hmm. So I say all that to say is it's so important for people, if they don't already, to get their own domain, you know, get your own .com, because that nobody can take that from you. That's yours until you shut it down. Right.
Right.
Because I mean, just real quick, there was a platform called Catch, KATCH. And I housed all of my videos that I had done on Periscope. And when Catch went out of business, my videos were gone. Mm. So, you know, that was like 50, I think it was about 40, 50 videos that it hurt, you know. That
right. Your hard work.
God, yes. So
portfolio.
Yes. So now it just scares me to hear when people say, oh, I don't have a website. Just follow me on Instagram. That's not how you do business, period.
Okay. That's smart. Reason. That is true. Because if they start charging, what are you going to do?
You know, you're at their mercy. You're so at their mercy. Yeah.
Right. Great advice. Well, thank you so much, Ms. Erica Ward. Erica Ward of Erica Ward Interiors.
Yes.
This has been 5 questions only. And once again, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence.
It's been my pleasure. That went by so fast, didn't it?
It did go by. I told you it would.
I want to keep talking.
Well, we'll get another time. We'll get another chance to do this again.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and best wishes on a new year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.